Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jerry Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Dr. Quentin Henning with me once again. Well, most of you know him, Dr. Henning, for his ongoing success at Novo Resources, his exploration success there. But he is also a director and an independent geologist, and a geologist that's really helping to guide the exploration program for Irving Resources in Japan. So we're really pleased to have Dr. Henning with us again today. I should mention before we say hello to Quentin that Irving trades in Canada under the symbol IRV. You can buy it in the U.S. as I have under the symbol IRVRF. Just a little under 50 million shares outstanding, and the stock is up strongly today at $2.08. In fact, as I'm looking at the screen now, it's up about 20% on the day on some really exciting news. So it's really great to have Quentin with me today at a time when obviously people are paying attention, a lot of attention to Irving Resources. Thanks for joining me again, Quentin.
Absolutely, Jay.
Really good to have you. As I say, the stock is up really big today on the assays from your OMU, from the OMU Gold Project in Hokkaido, Japan. And as I say, the market has really responded really, really nicely. What can you tell us? What can you tell investors that they should take away from the announcement today, from the press release, which showed several intersections of very significant grades of gold?
Yeah, the news release covers a number of things, but the main focus is on the drill results that we have from what we call the OMU Center target. To give a flavor for what this is, it's a target. It's basically an area, a geological area that we identified about 3 years ago through doing prospecting. What drew us into there, believe it or not, okay, were very large boulders of a rock called Center. Center is layered laminated silica that forms in hot spring pools. Hot spring pools are, you know, what sit above some of these high-grade epithermal vein deposits. You know, they're basically the surface expression. Okay, so when we were working at Omu Town, which is a little fishing village on the coast, we noticed a lot of people had these big rocks in their garden. We inquired where were people sourcing this. They indicated it was a little cliff next to a farm field north of town. We went out and had a look, and my gosh, you know, this cliff sticks up about 12 meters, solid center, unlike anything I had ever seen before. You know, absolutely enormous center terrace, basically a fossil hot spring pool. Okay, so fast forward, we did a lot of geophysical work, we did a lot of geochemical work, and identified areas that we thought would be the feeder zone below the center. And we've now drilled eight, widely spaced holes over about 1 kilometer strike. The northernmost hole is actually, I think, 400 meters from the coast. Okay, it's right next to the ocean. So we drilled these holes with the intention of identifying, hopefully tagging. Your odds of hitting a high grade vein in an epithermal system are maybe 1 out of 10. Okay, but we managed to snag veins in seven out of the eight holes.
Wow.
And, appreciable grades, too. We're starting to learn more about the system. We can see a fairly extensive vein network emerging at depth. We've done some recent geophysical work that's enhanced that now. So we've done what's called CSAMT. It's an acronym that's a big mouthful, but it's Controlled Source Audiomagnetotellurics. Okay, and we did this survey actually while we were drilling. So the drill holes were not oriented on this survey, but the survey has now highlighted this hydrothermal system. We can basically see the plumbing almost like you can see bones in an X-ray. Okay, so it's really interesting because most of the holes that do have a decent vein intercept are actually intersected what we call the resistivity anomaly. It's a near vertical feature that projects down into the ground for quite some distance. And, what we think is going on is that we are still in the near surface environment. You know, basically we're kind of at the top of the system, but, there's at least some indication holes 1, 4, and 5, which there's a cross section in the news release, show that there's a vein that projects straight down into the ground. We've already tagged it over 300 vertical meters, and it's heading straight down to the prospective boiling horizon where we think the thing could go, you know, become much higher grade. So, very exciting story. We're going to have to do some deep drilling. We'll start that after the first of the year. We moved what we call PQ diameter drill pipes and equipment over. That will allow us to drill deeper holes and give that deeper, you know, potentially high-grade target a fair test. But I guess what strikes me is that the gold comes all the way to surface. Mm-hmm. You think about this system, you know, these things are kind of like, you know, they're like a pressure cooker in a way. You know, the hot water in the ground is bubbling away, boiling away, building up steam, and every once in a while, these things just cut loose. And you know, down deep in the ground somewhere, when the things cut loose, we call it flashing. They basically, it's like a giant burp out of the ground. And as the fluids come rushing out of the ground, all this wonderful gold and silver starts precipitating. And lo and behold, in this system, it looks like a lot of that gold and silver actually made it all the way to surface, which is very encouraging.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at some of these some of these values. They have a pretty high silver content there as well, I believe. And, you know, looking at something like, well, a meter and a half of 5.3 gold equivalent ounces, grams per ton gold equivalent. But then there's some extremely high-grade things, too. A third of a meter at 135 grams per ton gold equivalent.
Yes.
So I guess I bet what you're saying here is that you're seeing the surface. You're expecting something that's mineable to be quite a bit deeper. I mean, these are pretty probably pretty narrow veins, and they're vertically orientated pretty much, I guess, right?
Yeah, they are, but you know, these are also potentially economic. But I think they're leading us down. Like I said, this thing literally just flashed or cut loose. It burped a couple of times. One episode appears to be reasonably gold rich. The other episode is silver rich. You know why? I don't know. But these things are leading us down deeper into the ground, and you know, with a little luck, we're going to find something very high grade at depth.
Yeah. So what you're? I mean, do you have any idea yet if this is? If you have the right kind of values at depth, would this be probably, how would you get down to there? Would you, do you speculate that you'd be going with a shaft, or could there be some sort of a ramping into it?
Yeah.
Or is that just too early to speculate?
It's a bit early to speculate, but you know, most mines now use ramps to access, you know, especially in the depths we're talking about. We're not talking about a kilometer deep. We're talking about, you know, a few hundred meters, 300-400 meters.
Uh-huh.
So usually you would access something like that with a ramp. No problem. Yeah.
Do you expect there might be some nuggeting issues here? Because I'm looking at these values and you have these incredibly high values. Mr. You know, Nugget follows you everywhere.
No, this is not a nuggety gold system, Jay.
Okay. Or,
you know, this is what we'll call a well-behaved fire assayable type of metal system. It's not nuggety like what we have in Australia. I love nugget, don't get me wrong, but you know, this is a predictable thing. It's a little bit easier to reconcile.
That's a good thing. And metallurgy, have any idea about that? Because I think you have.
That's a wonderful aspect of these things. Look, the whole business strategy we have is to find high silica veins that have gold and silver. Okay, because that eliminates the need to build a mill. Okay, in Japan, the way you treat this, you mine it, you ship it to a smelter. They actually use it for smelter flux. You get paid a significant percentage, you know, say plus 90% of the value of the gold and silver. Even get paid for the silica content. Okay, and you do not have to build a mill. That's how they mine at Hishikari. That's how they have traditionally mined in Japan. They mine the high grade veins and used it as smelter flux.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great, and you don't have to then build a mill, which would be a very expensive proposition, I suppose. So, I should mention to our listeners that you have a couple of pretty prestigious strategic investors as well. I think Newmont and Sumitomo, right?
Correct. Newmont and Sumitomo Corporation, and you know, historically, those two companies worked together for a very long time.
And what sort of percentage of this very small number of shares out are in the public float or owned by retail investors, more or less?
Yeah, so there's about, I think, 48 or something million shares out at the moment. Newmont holds about 7 or 8%. Eric Sprott holds about 10. You know, management and insiders, you know, control around 20. So, you know, it's very tightly held. You know, Newmont does have the right to tip in two more tranches of money. I suspect they'll probably do that, you know, based on the encouragement we're seeing. You know, so, it, you know, it's a unique company. We're focused on a very strategic business model in a new jurisdiction, but it's also well-structured, and we've got the right partner.
Sure do. Just one last question before I let you go. What news events, will there be more drill holes coming out anytime soon?
Yes, and that's the other part of the news release. Okay, we're drilling at Omwe mine site, which is about 10 kilometers south of Omwe Center. Omwe, there's actual veins sticking out of the ground. We are drilling some shallow holes. We're also drilling some deeper holes, testing CSAMT targets. We're on hole number 9 right now. We finished hole 8 the other day. We have seen a number of veins in the holes to date, and we've also seen some, you know, electrum and silver sulfur salts in one, you know, in some of the veins, and one in particular is about 1.6 meters wide. So I would expect good news out of the holes from Omwe. And then next year, early next year, we'll fire up drilling again at Omwe Center. We'll go back and retest this area, hopefully test that deep high-grade potential.
And are we looking at a similar kind of a target here, this other one you're talking about?
Yes. They're all high-grade epithermal veins. And what's really exciting about Omwe is the high-grade that we see is actually very near surface. So when I talked about the system burping, you know, at Omwe Center, same thing happened at Omwe. So we actually see little particles and pieces of very gold-rich and silver-rich vein material that's been flushed up, you know, little fragments and stuff that's been flushed up into the near surface environment. So we know there's something happening at depth.
Wow, very exciting. Well, obviously the market is somebody's paying attention with the stock up now. I see 37 cents in U.S. money. That's up 21.38% on the day. So obviously people are paying attention. Thank you very much, Quentin, for being with us, and I guess we're going to have you on in a couple of weeks, hopefully, to talk about Novo as well, so we're really, really looking forward to that. But thanks so much again for being with us. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Sure thing. We'll have good news for people in a couple of weeks around Novo or between now and the next time we talk.